The second case for this morning before the court is State of South Dakota versus Daniel Grassrope. State appears through who will be arguing today, Drew DeGroot, and they are the state is the appellant in this case, and Christopher Miles appears on behalf of the appellee, Daniel Grassrope. So with that, Mr. DeGroot, you may proceed with your first 15-minute argument.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. On March 7, 2020, at approximately 2:43 a.m., a six-year-old dialed 911. The dispatcher initially attempted to make contact with an adult in the to the six-year-old's mother, but the call was disconnected. The dispatcher redialed the number and made contact once again with the six-year-old. The six-year-old told the dispatcher that dad was being mean to mom and that dad was talking back to mom and mom didn't like it. At approximately 2:45 a.m., the six-year-old told the dispatcher that his dad had gone down to his car. At approximately 2:46 a.m., Sioux Falls law enforcement was dispatched to the location of the call, which was 320 Northwestern Avenue, apartment number 15. Officer Conley was the closest unit to the residence and responded to the call. And Officer Conley also was the only witness to testify at the suppression hearing. Officer Conley testified that he had the ability to review the command log or the CAD log on the en route to the residence. And he learned the same information that a six-year-old was calling 911 at 2:43 in the morning, time when six-year-olds are typically in bed. And that the six-year-old was indicating that a domestic dispute was occurring between his dad and his mom. That dad was being mean to mom, that dad was talking back to mom, and mom didn't like it. Officer Conley testified at the suppression hearing that based upon that information, he wasn't aware of who the victim was in the incident or if there was a victim at all. Only what was being described to him as a possible domestic situation from the perspective of a six-year-old.
Is that right? The only information that he had was that, as related by a little child, that dad was being mean to mom. What information could he articulate that dad was potentially a victim? He might be able to articulate a basis that mom was a victim. What possible information from that limited amount that we have from his testimony could be fashioned into articulable basis that somehow dad was the victim?
Yes, and to address that point, there's an additional statement that dad was being mean to mom and mom didn't like it. In domestic situations, verbal altercations can escalate into physical altercations. And in this instance, maybe dad was being mean to mom, and mom got fed up with it and got physically abusive towards dad as a result of dad being mean to mom.
That would be quite a considerable amount of speculation, wouldn't it, on the officer's part?
Yes, it would, but you have to take into context that what's being described to him is from the perspective of a six-year-old. It's not an adult or, let's say, a high school juvenile describing the or articulating the facts as being presented to the dispatcher. It's from the perspective of a six-year-old saying dad's being mean to mom and that dad's talking back to mom and mom didn't like it. And granted, that is speculative, but that's part of the test under Shortbull is rational inferences taken together with the facts of this case. And so I think it's a rational inference to for the officer to speculate that there's a possible domestic situation and that it's possible that dad could be the victim, mom could be the victim. He doesn't know at this point because what's being articulated is being articulated by a six-year-old at 2:43 in the morning.
And you would rely upon the part of that statement that says mom doesn't like it to support an articulable inference that meant could mean potentially that mom had retaliated in a physical way against dad?
I don't think it would be articulated that mom articulated, or excuse me, that retaliated against dad, but that's one of the rational inferences that you could conclude based upon the fact that domestic situations can escalate to physical altercations. And this court has stated such in Shortbull, where you don't know what the situation you're going into as an officer, and so you only have the reliance of a six-year-old stating that dad's being mean to mom, and that dad's talking back to mom and mom didn't like it, and this is being conveyed to the dispatcher at 2:43 in the morning, a time, again, when a six-year-old should typically be in bed, but the six-year-old felt it was necessary to call 911 in order to contact law enforcement because dad and mom are fighting.
At any point did the officer articulate during his testimony that he thought it was possible that they had the victim and his reason for thinking that?
So he did articulate that he doesn't know who the victim is or if there's a victim. He didn't articulate that he maybe thought that dad was a victim. He only articulated that he didn't know who the victim was based upon the six-year-old statements. And again, going back to the two almost conflicting statements, that dad's being mean to mom, that dad's talking back to mom and mom didn't like it. He only articulated that it's a possible domestic situation and he doesn't know who the victim is, if there's even a victim at all. But he felt it necessary under his role as a community caretaker to go investigate the issue further.
As I recall in Short Bull, we didn't have, or at least as it was reported in our decision, we didn't have the exact text of what the initial call was, but it was, as I understand it, a female called for help. That might support an inference that the female's the victim. Mm-hmm. And that sort of is how things played out in Short Bull. That doesn't seem like what we've got here.
No, the state
doesn't. In terms of the dad being the possible victim, I hate to dwell on that, but I'm just trying to nail that down. I think it's important in this case.
No, I understand that. And I understand that the facts are distinguishable from this case in Short Bull because there was an overt request for help in Short Bull from a female party stating that I need help, this is a domestic situation. But again, going back to the test that's applied in Short, there needs to be a specific and articulable set of facts taken together with rational inferences that justify an intrusion. It's not taken in the context of those facts of Short Bull. We need to take into totality of the circumstances of these facts that you have a six-year-old calling at 2:43 in the morning describing a possible domestic situation, and the officer at this point doesn't know who the victim is or if there's a victim at all.
So if he doesn't know even if there is a victim at all, and let's assume your argument that it was a rational inference that he might have been a victim, where was the immediacy? Where was the need to immediately stop him at that point?
Yeah, and if you look at the facts, he arrived at the residence at approximately 2:48:20. He decided to follow the vehicle based upon the assertion that the juvenile said that dad went down to the car at 2:45, and he only followed the vehicle for approximately 45 seconds before stopping the vehicle. And the reason why he stopped the vehicle immediately is because he also knew that another unit, according to Sioux Falls Police Department policy, was responding to the residence.
But then why not? Why couldn't they have then waited to gather more information from the residents at the apartment before making a stop?
And also taking into consideration that while the six-year-old is conveying information that dad went to the car, there is a lapse in time and there's no indication of where mom is at point and or child. The child only conveyed to the dispatcher that dad had gone to the car at 2:45 in the morning. By the time the officer arrives at 2:48:20, it could have been possible for the mom and or child to also be in the car at that point. But that information wasn't relayed to the officer, so he felt it was justified in stopping the vehicle to discern what was going on. Even though he knows that dad could be possibly in the car, he doesn't know who else could possibly be in the car.
Do you have any lingering or remaining argument that the stop could be justified under this totally separate and distinct test that there was a reasonable likelihood that criminal activity was afoot? Or is that's gone?
No, I think there is an argument there.
Did you make it, though, in this brief?
No, we did not.
Okay.
We argued solely the community caretaker description. And what the argument would be is if you look at the suppression hearing, the officer testified that when he first arrived on the scene at 2:48:20, he observed that a license plate wasn't affixed to the vehicle. And then he later observed that the license plate was placed in the rear view window. And this court stated in State v. Vento that placing a license plate in a window can be a violation of 32.598 for failing to fasten a license plate securely and horizontally in the vehicle, and or a violation of 32.15.5 for obstructing the view in the front, side, or rear view window. And so arguably there could have been reasonable suspicion, but again, the reason why the state didn't argue it is because Officer Conley in this instance was solely functioning in his role as a community caretaker. He wasn't looking for a pretext to stop the vehicle. He was looking just to determine what was going on at the residence and why a six-year-old was calling law enforcement at 2:43 in the morning and stating that dad's being mean to mom. Dad's talking back to mom, and mom didn't like it. And I recognize that this court generally doesn't reverse lower court opinions based upon issues not argued in front of the lower court. However, this court has also held, I think it's State v. Danielson, where there are exemptions to that rule when the court has been made aware of an issue. And Officer Conley did testify to that issue during the suppression hearing. And the lower court also indicated on the record that he had the opportunity to review the video stipulated in evidence by the defendant. So the court could have been made aware of that issue, but the state declined to argue that because we argued that the officer was solely functioning as a community caretaker in this instance instead of looking for a pretext to stop the vehicle.
What is your understanding of the community caretaker exception post Coniglia?
So the state relied on two cases in its brief, State v. Deny and State v. Shortbull. The Coniglia decision, I think, could possibly impact the State v. Deny rationale. In State v. Deny, there was an examination of an intrusion into a home. This court examined under the emergency doctrine, the emergency aid exception, and also the community caretaker exception. This court held that the emergency exception and emergency aid exception was not applicable, but the community caretaker was applicable. Based upon the rationale provided by this court post-Coniglia, that rationale may not be applicable anymore. I don't think it would impact this case because, as Justice Thomas stated in Coniglia, what's reasonable for a stop of a vehicle is different from an intrusion into a home. And so I don't think Shortbull or this case would be impacted by the rationale provided in Coniglia because, again, you're going to what's reasonable intrusion into the vehicle. And what this officer did and reasonable justification based upon the rational inferences taken together with the facts of this case, not the facts compared to Shortbull, facts compared to this case that justified the intrusion, a short intrusion, to investigate whether what was going on during the residence of the possible domestic dispute. And the fact that the stop was lengthened because he immediately noticed the odor of intoxicants shouldn't invalidate the community caretaker exception in this case because of the rational inferences gathered by the officer while en route to the residence. And if I could note a little bit on the Shortbull, in Shortbull, some of the facts, there was a couple staying in the hotel. And again, there was an overt request for help from the female party, called down to the hotel lobby and stated that, "I need help, this is a domestic situation." She went down to the hotel lobby and again reiterated that this is a domestic situation and I need help. In this case, we don't have that overt request for help because we're taking it in the context of a six-year-old trying to articulate what's happening in the apartment at the time at 2:43 in the morning, and not an adult articulating that this is a domestic situation. And also a difference in Shortbull in this case. In Shortbull, the female party left to the parking lot. The officer, after he arrived at the hotel, went to the parking lot as well. However, the hotel attendant stated that the woman who left went in an unknown direction, and if she did leave in a vehicle, the vehicle was unknown. The officer went into the parking lot, didn't see anybody in the front parking lot, went to the rear parking lot and saw a black SUV leaving the parking lot. The officer followed the vehicle, didn't observe any traffic violations, and eventually saw a male leaving the black SUV, not a female that was reported by the hotel lobbyist, but a male leaving the SUV, and stopped the male to question him about a possible domestic situation. The officer conducted a DUI investigation and ultimately placed the Shortbull under arrest for DUI. In that case, is distinguishable from this case because in this case, our officer is looking for a car. In Shortbull, they didn't know what they were looking for. They just knew that a female party had went into the parking lot, and this court upheld that stop under the community caretaker exception based upon the rationale that the officer was functioning solely as a community caretaker at that time. And another point that needs to be mentioned is, again, taken in the context of a six-year-old describing the events, the lower court said it was a clear distinction between a six-year-old describing dad's car as a silver car and what ultimately the officer described as a tan vehicle. Again, you're taken in the context of a six-year-old. A clear distinction may be true if the six-year-old says, "This is a blue, black, red, orange car," but you have a six-year-old describing the vehicle. And again, going back to the stipulated evidence by the defendant, the stop and the rational inferences that the officer had turned out to be right, and it was the dad who was the driver. So again, these rational inferences that the officer made totality of the circumstances, the facts of this case, turned out to be right, and he made the rational inference to stop the dad because he wasn't sure who the victim was and if there was a victim at all. And so he made the quick decision to stop the vehicle to determine what was going on. And taking some language directly from Schwartbull, Officer Conley did not stop the defendant's vehicle to investigate a criminal offense or to gather evidence. He had no facts to lead him to believe that the driver was impaired. He was operating solely within his community caretaker role to determine if dad needed assistance. Under the rationale provided by the defendant and the finding of the lower, I see my time is up. We just ask that you reverse the lower court's order, and I'll be back for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. DeGroote. Mr. Miles, you may proceed on behalf of your client. You don't get to argue second very often, do you?
May it please the court, counsel. Officer Conley conducted a traffic stop. He didn't have a warrant. He didn't have probable cause to believe that a crime had been committed, and he didn't have reasonable suspicion that criminal activity was afoot. And as the magistrate court correctly determined, the community caretaker exception does not apply. The magistrate court's decision granting session should be affirmed. The magistrate's decision was sound. It was premised on a set of undisputed facts. Its legal conclusions properly acknowledged the community caretaker exception and recognized the exception's application in the case of State versus Schwartbull. The magistrate court found distinguishing facts that separate this case from Schwartbull and support the magistrate's finding that Officer Conley went outside the scope of performing a community caretaker function.
Before you get into the facts, Mr. Miles, do you have a response to Justice Kern's prior question? Under the recent pronouncement of the U.S. Supreme Court in Coniglia, do you believe there's still a freestanding, standalone community caretaker exception as it relates to vehicles?
Well, I do think that the distinction between a vehicle and a home, I would say that this decision should not be impacted by that, because I do believe that Schwartbull and the body of case law that this court has before it in prior decisions leaves the magistrate's decision intact. And so I believe that based on the facts of this case and the community caretaker exception as it's been applied to vehicle stops, Schwartbull, Reinhardt, the magistrate's decision should be affirmed under those cases. This court has addressed the community caretaker exception in multiple cases, and that body of case law informs us that the purpose of community caretaking must be the objectively reasonable, independent, and substantial justification for the intrusion. An officer should be able to articulate specific facts that, taken with rational inferences, reasonably warrant that intrusion. The police action must be apart from the detection, investigation, or acquisition of criminal evidence. The community caretaker exception contemplates scenarios that are more akin to health and safety checks. A key question in any community caretaker intrusion is whether or not the officer had sufficient reason to act. In State versus Reinhardt, this court found that an officer must have a demonstrable reason to believe that a driver may be unfit to drive for a medical or other reason to justify a temporary stop for the limited purpose of investigating a person's well-being. And of course, this being an exception to the warrant requirement, the community caretaker exception should be applied cautiously and narrowly in order to minimize the risk that it will be abused or used as a pretext for conducting an investigatory search for criminal evidence. In this case, testimony at the suppression hearing supported the magistrate's conclusion that Officer Conley was not acting as a community caretaker when he stopped Grassrope. At page 6 of the hearing transcript, the prosecutor asked Officer Conley, "Why did you follow the car and not go to the residence then?" Officer Conley responded, "I was not exactly sure what was going on. I had limited information from a 6-year-old child, I wasn't sure if the dad potentially could be a victim, or if he was a suspect, or if someone had been hurt. So, if in fact the male had left, I wanted to speak with him to find out what was going on. When we look at those first two lines, I wasn't sure what was going on. I had limited information from a six-year-old child. That tells us Conley was unable to articulate specific facts that, taken with rational inferences, would reasonably warrant his intrusion. Moving on to the second line, I wasn't sure if the dad potentially could be a victim, or if he was a suspect, or if someone had been hurt. This tells us that Conley's actions were not totally divorced from the detection, acquisition, or investigation of criminal evidence. Conley used the words victim and suspect, words that are undeniably associated with criminal activity and criminal investigations. Finally, the third line. If it was in fact the male had left, I wanted to speak with him to find out what was going on. This tells us that Officer Conley possessed no information indicating that the father had actually left the parking lot, and that the purpose of community caretaking wasn't the independent and substantial justification. This was a health and safety check. This was a warrantless stop, and Officer Conley's stated purpose was to obtain information from the driver. The Short Bowl case has distinguishing facts that make the community caretaker exception inapplicable in this case. The state's brief suggests the factual variance is a distinction without a difference. The state acknowledges Officer Conley was looking for the father instead of going to the residence where the mom and the child were, but argues that fact is irrelevant. Short Bowl tells us that fact is relevant. The Short Bowl case was hinging on that specific finding. In essence, the Supreme Court determined that the exception applied in Short Bowl because Officer Holt believed the woman needing help was in the car. That was his testimony. It's excerpted in the decision, and it tells us he was looking for the woman that said she needed help in the vehicle. I know the state suggested that the officer knew that Officer Holt knew he was pulling over a male. I think the testimony in that case was that the windows were tinted and he was not sure who was in the vehicle. So that is, I think, something that the state has stated, but I believe that is different. In Short Bowl, Officer Holt's actions aligned with the information that he received. A woman at a hotel requested help by calling the front desk. The hotel clerk told dispatch the woman was at the front desk. She reiterated that request for help. Then the woman left the hotel, went to the parking lot. Officer Holt responded within moments of the initial dispatch and scanned the lot, front and back. Because his actions aligned with the information, this court found that it was reasonable for Officer Holt to infer that the woman who had been a party to the disturbance may be in the vehicle and in need of assistance. Grass Rope is not the same as Short Bowl. In this case, we know the child and the mother remained at the apartment complex, which had at least 15 units. When Officer Conley responded, he did not proceed directly to apartment number 15. The child did not inform dispatch that anything physical had occurred at the apartment, only that the father was being mean to the mother. The child did not inform dispatch that anyone was hurt, injured, or in need of medical assistance.
Well, that's a little bit wider argument than you need to win, maybe, but maybe not. You tell me. So what if things had played out differently and the officer didn't pull the car over with Mr. Grassrope driving and it headed to the apartment? That's the case that we don't have, and we really don't probably need to go into that. But arguably, there would be an argument that that may be a better source of caretaking. So I hear you arguing that there was just no earthly way that this would involve caretaking, but I'm not so sure about that. I know that you need that to win. What do you think?
Well, I think that, Justice Salter, it is correct that there would be a better argument for Officer Conley to proceed directly to apartment 15 and engage in community caretaking actions. What happens when he gets to apartment number 15, I suppose, would create another fact-intensive inquiry.
It's a totally
inquiry.
Different case.
And the magistrate court's findings did suggest that it is possible that Officer Conley would have been justified in making an intrusion into the apartment under the community caretaker exception.
The magistrate judge thought this one deviated from the proper course of the Fourth Amendment because that decision got made differently, that the officer didn't go to the apartment. Instead, he followed the car. Or it
yes.
seems like that.
I believe that is a proper framing of the magistrate's finding, and that short bolt does not apply to this case because the officer deviated from the information instead of going to the apartment, where if we are going to infer that there is an issue that needs to be addressed by community caretaking actions, the reasonable inference leads us to that apartment number 15, to determine what exactly is going on. If officer's stated purpose is to determine what is going on, should have left him at apartment number 15 knocking on that door.
Doesn't matter that another unit is en route to that apartment? And the officer knows that, I mean, obviously.
I think it matters in the sense that if we are looking for, again, actions that would justify this officer's intrusion, I know that the state's brief argued it would be irresponsible for a police officer to not investigate the driver of the vehicle. I think if we have two options on our hands, one officer being first to respond to the scene, he is at the location, and he chooses to follow a vehicle, pull over a vehicle that doesn't even have a matching description, and it was 3 minutes and 49 seconds after dispatch had informed that this man went to his vehicle, or the officer could have responded to the apartment. I think it's clearly more reasonable for the officer to go to the apartment in that situation. And just to touch on that as well, the officer didn't have a correct vehicle description. The vehicle was described as a silver car. That is ultimately not what the officer pulled over. Again, in light of this information, it was not reasonable to infer that the woman and the child were in the vehicle. It was not reasonable to infer that if anyone did need assistance, it would have been the father. It was not reasonable to assume that a vehicle leaving for almost 4 minutes after the call was related. Despite there being no information that the father had left the parking lot in the vehicle, Officer Conley didn't even go into the lot to scan the area. I think that if this is a dangerous situation requiring two officers, as the state suggests, it also doesn't make sense that the officer would deviate from that protocol and go make a traffic stop alone instead of with officers respond to the scene where it is still possible the father is in the parking lot. The state also points to Reinhart, Clevin, and Denai to assert that an overt request for help is not necessary. An overt request for help is not necessary, but it certainly factors into whether or not the intrusion was reasonable. In those cases, officers made independent observations, which led to the logical conclusion that the subject of their intrusion was potentially incapable of requesting help. Take, for example, Reinhart. The officer observed slow driving for multiple minutes, followed the vehicle for 6 blocks, was concerned that the driver was possibly having a stroke. In Clevin, multiple officers observed a vehicle that moved for 40 minutes on a cold January night. An officer knocked on the window several times and was concerned that the driver was passed out. In State versus Denai, officers smelled ammonia emanating from inside of a house. They knew that it could knock somebody out. Someone could be incapacitated inside. They adequately articulated those concerns. This case must be decided on these facts. In short, Officer Holt followed the information, which led him to the parking lot and qualified his actions under the community caretaker exception. In this case, Officer Conley departed from the information. If he had followed the information, he would have been at apartment 15, knocking on the door to conduct a health and safety check for the mother and child. He wouldn't have pulled over Mr. Grassrobe's vehicle. When he departed from the information, he departed from his role as a community caretaker. Conley's decision to pursue the vehicle does not fall within the realm of rational inferences that reasonably warrant the intrusion. The exception does not apply in this case, and the magistrate's decision should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miles. Mr. DeGroot, you may proceed with your five-minute rebuttal.
Counsel, I'm just going to jump in since such a limited amount of time here. I appreciate and understand one of the comments you made with regard to what officers often encounter when you're responding to domestic dispute type calls. With a community caretaking application here, we are to apply that narrowly and cautiously. So is it appropriate for us to, when we determine whether there are reasonable inferences, look at this broader picture of what might occur, what officers maybe routinely experience when they respond to domestic calls in general, as opposed to the specific factual information that he received in this case?
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit of both. So the defendant stated that the facts need to be applied in this case, but then asks this court to only look at Shortbull and look at those specific facts. However, in Shortbull, this court noted that domestic situations are inherently dangerous.
But the holding of the decision, I want to ask that question, but the holding of the decision isn't that officers in every instance where the specter of a domestic dispute exists can act in their community caretaking role and undertake Fourth Amendment reasonable searches and seizures without a warrant. That's not the holding. That comment, which came in Shortbull, was not central to that holding. So that can't, and seems to me, form the basis for the rule that you might suggest.
Right, and I agree with that, that it's not, there's not just a freestanding anytime somebody is mentioning a domestic situation that it automatically triggers the community caretaker exception. I mean, I agree with that principle, and I think the principles set forth in Shortbull stand for that, and I don't disagree with that. However, Shortbull also articulates that there must be specific and articulable set of facts taken together with rational inferences of those facts, not compared to another case. It's not supposed to be compared to a different cases. It's the totality of the circumstances of this case that must be applied to the specific and articulable set of facts. And in this context, and go back to Justice Delaney's comment to your question, that there's a little bit of both in this, so you must compare the specific facts of this case, but also take into consideration that domestic situations can inherently be dangerous, and that's the reason why the Sioux Falls Police Department policy has the policy that two units respond. And the defendant points out that this that he broke from the policy by pursuing the one person, but that's a reason why there's two units responding, because in domestic situation, there are typically two parties. So they separate the parties, and that's why the policy is in place. And another thing to take into consideration, and based upon the defendant's arguments and the lower court's findings and conclusions, that based upon those conclusions, anytime a six-year-old calls law enforcement and is describing a potentially dangerous situation, there's no justification to do a health and safety check. Ironically, under Cornelia, I think it would be applicable in this case in one conclusion of the courts, and that's where the court concluded that the community caretaker exception would have applied to the residents. Arguably, that's not the case post-Cornelia. Arguably, what is applicable in this instance is that it was reasonable for the officer to stop the vehicle because an intrusion is, the reasonableness of an intrusion in a vehicle is lesser to the extent of an intrusion into a home. So arguably, Cornelia is applicable in this case, and in the court's conclusion that that the intrusion was justified in the home, and that may not be the case. And going back to some of the defendant's comments, and I'll just reiterate, in short, well, there was testimony that there was the windows were tinted, but the officer did note that once the male exited the vehicle. So once that officer noted the male exiting the vehicle, it should have been invalidated the stop. However, in this instance, we ask that under these circumstances, the totality of circumstances, that the officer provided a specific and articulable set of facts supporting his decision to stop the defendant's vehicle. Indeed.
Mr. Miles says that the passage from page 6 speaks only in terms of questions but not articulable facts. I don't know if anyone's heard. I don't know who the victim is. I don't know. He juxtaposes that and says that's the absence of articulable suspicion.
Which
that's
is
not knowing anything.
Right. If I could briefly respond to that, the specific and articulable set of facts are based upon the context of them being provided by a 6-year-old at 2:43 in the morning. Again, we don't have an adult describing domestic situation. Officers would be crucified if every time a 6-year-old calls 911, if they just say, well, they can't articulate that with specificity that a domestic situation is occurring, we shouldn't check on the health and safety of the parties involved. Our law enforcement officers would be crucified if that's the holding that would result in from not reversing the lower court's finding that the community caretaker exception was not met in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be in recess until 10:30.